John chapter 10, we are going to read from verse 22 to verse 30. John chapter 10, from verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Let me proceed to verse 33. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" And they replied, "We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." This is the word of the Lord. And here outside, we continue to believe that since the Bible is God's word, and since we have believed in Jesus and become God's children, help me, the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we acknowledge your presence in this place. We pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to us and teach us. We pray that your word may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Children, you are free to go to your children's church. I want to share with you a message entitled, "It Is Well With My Soul." Of course, there's a hymn that goes by the same title, and the author of this hymn wrote the hymn after experiencing a very painful experience, losing his children and his business. He had everything to complain. He had everything to turn away from God. He had everything to lose hope. But instead, focusing on the Lord, he was able to say, "It is well with my soul." It reminds us that our security does not consist of the things that we possess. It does not consist of the material stuff that we pay much attention to. Our hope in this world does not consist of what happens around us. It only consists on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And everyone that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, regardless of what is happening in your life, you can boldly confess, "It is well with my soul." You can still wake up in the morning and feel the pain that you have been feeling and experience the fear that you have been experiencing. But because of the relationship you have with Jesus, you can still say, it is well with my soul. Jesus is walking in the temple. It is winter. This is the feast of dedication, the dedication of the second temple, Solomon's temple. And dedication of the second temple, sorry. And there are people surrounding him. They are following him. Some of them are there to distract him. Some of them are looking for opportunities to find fault on him. And then we are told that Jews asked him a question. If you are the Messiah, if you are the Christ, the anointed one of God, just tell us plainly. Stop keeping us in suspense. They want an immediate answer. But Jesus doesn't tell them, yes, I am the Messiah. Instead, he reminds them. Tells them that I have told you. You have seen the things that I have been doing. You've seen signs and wonders. You have witnessed my work. The problem with you is not information. The problem you have is transformation. He's saying that you think that you need knowledge, but what you need is faith. And the reason you're finding it difficult to know who I am is not because I haven't told you. It's because you don't believe. You don't believe because you are not my sheep. You haven't become part of my family. You don't yet recognize my voice. You are not my sheep. You are not my sheep because you don't believe, and you don't believe because you are not my sheep. And here he brings out the image of the sheep and the shepherd. A very important lesson for all of us to know. He first talks of the characteristics. Now, the previous verses he talks of the characteristics of the shepherd. If you read from verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So he talks about the character of the good shepherd. He says the good shepherd gives out his life for the sheep. But here in verse 27, he talks of the characteristics of the sheep. He's doing this to distinguish the difference between those who don't believe and those who believe in him. And he says, one, my sheep hear my voice. They listen to what I say. The reason they listen is because they know my voice. Because we are in a relationship, they know my voice and they listen to it. They not only listen to it, but they hear so that they may do. The word hearing includes the word to obey. When the Bible says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. He says, it's not just referring to you listening to his voice, it's listening and obeying. And Jesus is saying, hear my sheep, hear my voice. They listen to it. You see, in this world that we are living today, there are so many voices. They are speaking from everywhere you go. You will hear a lot of voices in your life. And if you are, if you belong to Jesus, then you should be able to tell the difference. We should be able to tell the voice of God from all other voices. My sheep hear my voice. That's a character of a believer. It's a character of a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a character of a follower of Jesus. It's the character of Christians to hear his voice. The problem is not that the Lord is not speaking. The problem is some of us are not listening. And then he says, I know them. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you know that he knows you. This happens in every relationship. When you are in a relationship, you know that the other person knows you. Jesus is saying here, you cannot sneak in. Because I know those who have believed in me. I know them. I know my sheep. And a good shepherd knows his sheep. Someone else tried to sneak in. There was a wedding and someone sneaked in and invited, and he was found out. When it comes to God's kingdom, we cannot sneak in, because there is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying here that I know my sheep. Do you know why he knows them? Because they are in a relationship. And then he says, they follow me. My sheep follow me. The word following here does not mean walking after someone. It doesn't mean that Jesus is walking and then the sheep are behind coming. That the believers are walking behind him. No. It means that they are becoming like him. The word following here means becoming like. This is what happens anywhere in the world. You look at the people that we praise and idolize, the musicians and sportsmen and politicians. If you really like that person, if you love them, if you are following them, you will find yourself becoming like them, buying the clothes that looks like their clothes, changing your hairstyle, doing stuff that makes you look like them, because following is becoming. And as Christians, Christ is saying, my sheep, they hear my voice, they know what I expect from them, they know what I want them to do, and because they are doing, and because we are in a relationship, they are becoming like me. I said here one day that you and I might be the only Christ that someone will see. Because as we follow him, we become like him. Look at any relationship, you guys, people that have lived together for, and You can start doing that today if you haven't. Okay? You can observe Ken Mason and his wife Ruth, or Dave Resch and Pat. You can look at Ralph DeVito and Debbie, and you will see a lot of characteristics that are similar. You can look at Sandy and Dennis, or Jeannie Dodd and Gary, or even Larry Martin and Jen. And I'm telling you, you will see a lot of things that are very similar. Because they have been together for so long, they have grown into that relationship. When they came together, they were not like that. They were so different. We will start having an opportunity to hear their stories here on Sundays. But you will realize that when they first came together, they were so different. In fact, some of them were shocked at how different they were. But as they grew in that relationship, they began to embrace one another, and even some of the smiles changed. Some of them even smiled the same. Their thinking changed. Behaviors changed. Because in any relationship, when growth is happening, we become more like one another. I've been to places in Kenya where people thought that my wife was my sister. I've been to places where I called my wife my sister and everyone was okay with it. I know that we are different, but I also know that there are some things that we share because we've been together for some time. And the biggest problem in any relationship is when we refuse to grow to one another. Is when we want to retain who we are. Is when we are not ready to embrace one another and the differences that each one of us brings to that relationship so that we can develop more and more. Jesus says here that my sheep follow me. They are becoming like me. When you see them, you will see something about me. Christians cannot hide. True Christians cannot hide wherever they are. They will be known. They will be known. That's why even in those places where people are persecuted, you will still find Christians finding ways to come together because they just can't hide. It's a character that they inherit from the shepherd. There is something that gives them confidence and boldness and hope. The message of Jesus Christ is not just about knowledge. It is about a relationship. And then Jesus talks about the position of his sheep. He says in verse 28 and 29, and this is very good for us. He says, I give them eternal life. They hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, everlasting life. I bring to them a life that has no end. Every believer has eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 says,
He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. That makes a huge difference. The reason we say that when a Christian dies, we say that he or she has gone home to be with the Lord is because as Christians we understand that this person has life. And the death that he experiences here on earth does not deny him the life he has received from Jesus Christ. And therefore, after dying here, he continues to live with Christ. Eternal life is not something that we receive after we die. It's something that we receive when we are still alive. It is Jesus Christ in us. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You remember he said in John 3:16 that whosoever believes shall never perish. He emphasizes here the reason true believers will never perish is because they have eternal life. To perish is to be separated from God forever. To perish is the second death. They shall never perish. And then he explains. He says, no one can snatch them from my hand. I have them here. No one can snatch them from me. And then he says, for those of you that think that they can do it, because he's speaking to people who can see him. And the Jews here are looking at him as a man. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to them when he says, no one can snatch my sheep, pluck my sheep from my hands. So he goes further and he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. So he is saying that my sheep are eternally secured. Once they became mine, I owned them. And no one else can own them. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are told that we are not of ourselves. That's why as believers, we must have the attitude that John the Baptist had, which says, he must increase and I decrease. That people may see more of him and less of me. Because we are not of our own. The hope that we have in this faith, brothers and sisters, is that we are eternally secured. We've heard of life insurance, and most of you probably have life insurance. Now, life insurance is not really life insurance. It is death insurance. The only person that can give you a life insurance is Jesus Christ. Because he is the only one who has power to give life and to take it. If you are finding your joy and your hope and your peace in your life insurance, if you are finding your joy and your hope and peace in the things that you possess in this world, You have missed the point.
That's why I don't really believe that any church should have financial problems. I don't believe that that should happen to any church. It is sad when I hear that a church has closed because they couldn't pay their pastor, they couldn't pay their bills, they couldn't do this. It's a shame when that happens. It tells me that the people that were part of that fellowship did not understand that everything they possess belongs to the Lord. They did not transfer ownership. It is a shame when that happens to a local assembly of believers. Do you know that there's a time God's people were asked to give, to build a temple, and they gave so much, they had to be told to stop. What happened? What happened to God's people? Brothers and sisters, we are safe in God's hands. If you are a believer, your worry shouldn't be whether you are secured eternally or not. If you are a true believer, you should know that God has taken care of that. He has secured you eternally. And this is not something that should make us feel so proud of ourselves, because eternal life is a gift. It is a gift that we receive from Jesus Christ. It doesn't make us say, okay, now that I know I'm going to heaven, regardless of the kind of life that I live, I am going to do everything I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want because I have eternal life. If you truly have eternal life, you will not have that kind of attitude. Because it will humble you. It will want you to please the Lord more. It will make you want to follow Him more. It will make you want to love Him more and please Him more. You and I cannot have an attitude of taking advantage of God's grace for our self-centeredness. When we find ourselves doing that, we should know that that kind of attitude does not come from Christ. You don't see this with the disciples. The disciples were ready to risk their lives because they knew that their lives were secure. Today's Christians are different. We want to live the way we want because we think that our lives are secured. People that know that they have eternal life will love the Lord even more. My sheep shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hands. One person in the Bible that understands this image of the shepherd and the sheep better than anyone else I know is David. In Psalm 23, a psalm that is well known, in fact, even people that don't believe know Psalm 23. It's a psalm of consolation. It reminds us of the highs and lows of life that we go through. David, thinking of the fears and dangers that we face in life, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd."
The Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I have everything I need. He says, there are moments in life that he walks me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that he prepares a place for me, that my cup runneth over. There are those moments that I find myself on the mountaintops, enjoying that relationship. But there are also moments that I walk through the deep, dark valley. The valley of the shadow of death. But again he says, but even when I walk through that valley, I will not fear because he is with me. That is my version of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you're reading King James, it says, he maketh. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures beside the still waters. He restores my soul. When you understand the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, you will find yourself like David saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you can also find yourself saying, since the Lord is my shepherd, it is well with my soul. In those moments of gloom and despair, the Lord is our shepherd. In times of pain and helplessness, the Lord is our shepherd. In moments of darkness and fear, the Lord is our shepherd. In times of grief and doubts, the Lord is our shepherd. Our Father's power is keeping us. Peter understands this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith, listen to this, are shielded. King James says, are kept by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We are shielded. We are kept until our final salvation. There are three stages of salvation. You and I, who have believed in Jesus Christ, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. You and I, that's one. The second one is, we have been saved from the power of sin. So one, we will not die for our sins. And two, sin has no power over us. We, because of the Holy Spirit in us, we can choose not to sin. Before Christ came to our lives, sin was a lifestyle because we were rebellious. But now that Christ is in our lives, we can choose not to sin. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin. And we are going to be saved from the presence of sin, where we will not be able to sin anymore. Right now, we are still in the presence of sin. So we have gone through the first two stages. We are waiting for the final one. Hallelujah. When we understand the relationship we have with our shepherd, we will realize that our safety does not depend on our grip on Jesus Christ. It depends on his grip on us. It's not us who are holding unto him to be safe. It is him holding unto us. And because he's holding unto us, we are holding unto him. He first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. This is the message that I have for you. The Father holds onto us. The Father holds on to us. Regardless of what happens and how we may feel about it, regardless of our experiences, regardless of our fears, we can boldly proclaim that it is well with our souls because the Father holds on to us. Our souls are being taken care of. He is ministering to us. He is giving us hope. He is giving us peace. He keeps on reminding us that he has a better place for us. He is holding on to us, and he has no desire, no intention of letting go. And because of that, we want to cleave. We want to hold on to him. Before the coronavirus came, there were a lot of hugs going on in this church. And sometimes when we realize that someone has had a tough experience and we come across them, the way we hug them is different. The hug has some strength in it, some feeling, something that just makes you realize this person understands what I'm going through. And I've realized that when someone is going through a tough experience and you hug them, they hug you too. And the more you press, the more they press. But when everything is going on well, the hugs are different. They are quicker. It's a quick and go. I hugged someone here before the coronavirus, and I expected the hug to take a few seconds. It didn't last. It was more like a pat on the back. Pat. And then I was like, What? I think about it even today. But when we understand that the Father holds on to us in every moment, in every way, it will be our desire to hold on to him. We will be shaken. We will be threatened. We will face experiences that will want to break our hearts, but we will keep on holding to him. Because he is the source of our life, the source of our hope, the source of our joy, the source of our peace. We will hold on to him even more and more and more. Even when we are facing death, we will still hold on to him, because he holds on to us. It is well with my soul, because the Father holds on to me. It is well with my soul, because I am in the Father's hands.
It is well with my soul because greater is He that is in me than the one that is in the world. And we need to keep on reminding ourselves of 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. That greater is He that is in you than the one that is in the world. It is well with your soul because nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 from verse 38, he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Even you yourself, you cannot separate yourself from the love of Christ. You cannot. You cannot separate yourself from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. No one else can. The Pope cannot. The President of the Southern Baptist cannot. There is no one who can. No one. We are safe in His hands, brothers. I don't know how I can say it better, but you and I, because of Jesus Christ, we are shielded. We are shielded. See, we have every reason to be grateful. Every reason. We have every reason to say, "Thank you, God. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I only should be thanking you because you have taken care of this. When I'm losing my health, when my health is failing, I'm losing my mind, when things are not the way they should be, I should still be grateful to you because you saw my future and you took care of it." You know what I think? I think I will die a happy person. I think I will die smiling. And some of you will come and see me and you will say, "He looks as though he's asleep." Because I will be asleep. And by then, I will be more alive than I have ever been in the presence of the Lord that has taken care of my future. As a believer, we have every reason to be grateful. You have every reason to say, "It is well with my soul," because the Father holds on to me. In Luke chapter 10, let me finish this. In Luke chapter 10, I think it's verse 10, the disciples were rejoicing, coming to Christ and giving their testimonies, telling Jesus, "You know, the spirits obey us. The demons are afraid of us." And they were feeling so excited about it. And Jesus looked at them and he said, "Don't rejoice because the spirits obey you and the demons are afraid of you. You should rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. You should rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I didn't know that there is a register in heaven. I thought we only keep registers here on earth. Just realize that God has a book. And the book has names. And our names are written there. He knows us by our names. And that should give us joy.
You know, you will get to a point where you are forgetting stuff and you may be tempted to forget people's names. Don't worry. Don't worry. There is a record for that. God has taken care of it. He has. He has. Our names are written in His book of life. And every time we find ourselves in those moments of fear, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what may happen, as a believer, just remind yourself, comfort yourself, say to yourself, it is well with my soul, because the Father holds on to me. Because He does. Father, I thank You for Your love for us. I thank You for the hope that we have in You. I thank You for Your word, the encouragement and the comfort that we receive from You. I thank You, Lord, for opportunities like this that You just bring us together to remind ourselves of our place in You. To encourage one another and to look forward for a better day with You. As we serve You today in this world. I thank You for everyone that is here this morning. I thank You for everyone who is joining us online. I thank You even for those who are not able to be with us for one reason or another. I know that You know them, You can see them, You know what is happening in our lives. And that, Lord, as we glorify You, as we thank You for all that You have done for us, we also pray that You may meet us at the point of our needs. That, Father, You may continue to show Yourself strong on our behalf. That we may continue to experience You day after day. Because You are our shepherd. You love us. You hold on to us. May Your peace reign in Your people's lives. May they walk out with confidence. With hope, knowing that, Lord, You are holding on. You're holding on to us. Not for our glory, Lord, but for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.